listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 6th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, everyone, tonight. We're going to have a bit more of an open discussion. We call it mindful expansion. We might jump around a little bit. We're going to go over a breadth of topics. As we were chatting before the broadcast and whittling the time away, we were talking about some things we might discuss. And Dr. Hunter, as I was talking on a muted mic, I think you were mentioning something about time management. Seems oddly prescient.
You know, I'm really glad to see some new faces in the chat room. It's wonderful to have you here. And I'm noting, right along with what I was thinking of talking about here, is I noticed Colin just finished the doctoral program at IMHS University. And congratulations, Colin. But what a great use of your time. Let's start with that. You know, I had a conversation with a client early this morning, and she's newly widowed and, you know, coming through the other side of it and learning to fill that space in her life. And I said, you know, it's really important when you're on your own, especially, you know, to have something tangible outside yourself to show what you did during that time period. And don't get me wrong, there's a time to watch Netflix, there's a time, you know, to do these other things. And but it's wonderful if you can take a course to and have a little certificate to show, oh, you know, what did you do last winter? Oh, I took this course. Or, you know, you crocheted a blanket or, you know, something that you can say, wow, you know, I did that. And you can actually see it, you know, or make reference to it. And taking the IMHS degree program or even at TFU is a wonderful way to, boy, expand your consciousness for sure. But what a wonderful use of your time, you know, and to learn and to grow. And, wow, I did that. You've got that piece of paper now. You say, that's what I did. You know, in 2021, I did this. Ronnie says he's halfway through his master's program. Good for you, Ronnie. I know you're going to keep going. I believe there's reference to Marjorie. You know, this is what I mean, but that's kind of where I was going tonight with it, Michael, is how we...
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
I had
absolutely.
To laugh. Dr. Edwards saying these courses can be addictive. He just started his second degree program, and yes, it can be addictive. Because, well, you know, it builds a curiosity, too.
It does. It does. And curiosity is, you know, it's kind of a self-sustaining cycle. You start to engage it, and it leads you to these different topics. And these different topics branch off, and then the curiosity gets intensified, and now you have to go down this rabbit hole, but you can't forget about these other rabbit holes. You still have to get around to them. And, you know, I absolutely agree. Not so much that binge-watching TV can't, in and of itself, being an accomplishment, but mm-hmm. that, you know, you
it is keeps your sanity sometimes.
It does. It does. We all have to escape. And, you know, why not utilize the immense wealth of media content that we have at our fingertips, because past generations had to walk a mile through snow uphill both ways to get to a movie theater where they were lucky to get sound. But before that, you had to tell stories and, you know, around the campfire. But there's a wonderful aspect to that, too, a communal thing about storytelling. But no,
such a drama in that, Michael. You make it sound like we've made these big drama stories. The thing is, you don't understand. We really did do that.
I literally had to walk my bike up a hill when I was riding it home from school back in third and fourth grade. And I was just so happy looking back on that I get to actually say that. I mean, it's a little beyond my generation, but still, I get to tell a future generation that I had to drag my bike uphill when I was going to school. So you should be appreciative that you get to get dropped off right in front.
You're so funny. It's funny. And, but this is the thing about time, right, and how we manage time and how we, you know, time goes by in a blip. It does. We all kind of live in our own time warps. If we're really busy, it goes by fast. If, you know, sitting around twiddling your thumbs, you're looking at the clock, it feels like forever. But we each have own measures of time. We've talked about that in past programs as mm-hmm. well. But when you have something to show for your time, you know, it just makes you feel better. It makes you feel more constructive, and I don't know, it just makes it's a feel good to say I did that, and proving things to yourself, challenging yourself, and I don't know, making good use of time. So that's all, that's really kind of where I was saying, you know, all this time, Michael, I'm going to stand corrected too. Ronnie, we've been calling Ronnie all this time. She mm-hmm. says, I know you can't see me, but I'm a female Ronnie.
You know, I not to brag, but I always had a hunch, and I thought, I know last week I think you referred to her as a he, and I didn't know for sure, so I didn't exactly correct it, but I was like, I didn't get that feeling, but called it. I'm just saying.
Okay,
throwing it
Ronnie,
out there.
We apologize. We didn't know.
It was this wee stuff.
So, for those in the archives, we have a chat room going, yes. And everyone participates in this chat room, the people who sign on, and you can write things. You do not have to be in the chat to listen to us, that's for sure, but there's a lot of people who join in, and so we are multitasking to read these, you know, middle messages and conversations going on and ideas. And
it's great fuel for the conversation a lot of times, too, you know?
It is, and Audra just signed on. Of course, we know Audra's a female, but Ronnie is one of those androgynous names that mm-hmm.
could be like Terry or Jamie.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't know what gender that is.
But, well, I think, you know, spelling. I think it was the I that did it for me. If it was a Y, I might take a different approach. But well, anyway, this is great fodder. We're, you know, we just were able to talk about this topic for 2 minutes. All right, keep it coming, guys. Give us some more things we can talk about so we don't have to put as much work in.
So I just think that it's a wonderful thing that these folks who are in the chat room have all had these great accomplishments in their life. And look, other people do too, and lots listening in the archives. Mm-hmm. But it is no small task get through the IMHS program.
Well, and it's, you know, it is engaging. It is engages your curiosity. But to be able to sit down and in this day and age with so many distractions, we have social media, whatever your flavor. We have media that I was talking about, binge watching TV, any movie, music, anything you would ever want to consume, you can access.
Yeah.
And to be able to have the discipline to go through something meaningful, be it the course, and we've had a lot of people like Marjorie alluded to earlier, halfway through her master's. Congratulations on that. Keep it going. You know, yeah. We have some people going back and doing some more courses. That's great, because not only can you, yeah, tell folks, hey, look what I did, look what I accomplished, but you're adding something to your life. You're broadening your horizon, maybe, you know, getting a different take on something that you thought you knew something about, and you did, but you get a different perspective. Or doing something, you know, like a craft, just something that you can, build, something that, be it, you know, knowledge, or be it something physical, or a project you're working on, something you can look back on, just like you said, Dr. Hunter, and I think you hit the nail on the head, and feel proud of.
And you know, you're talking about a lot of distractions that we have around, but also people are living their lives. I know Dr. Kelly has said it before, we've talked about it before, that all students are going through their own daily life. Some people have, you know, for sure, they hold down jobs or work shift work, you know, and but they also have illness and other physical challenges. There's relationship challenges, children, you know, the list is long. Some people are just having babies, take time out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I moved across the country. I haven't signed in for a long time. So there's lots of things about life that often distract us that are, oh, for the moment, that it's a priority. But to keep coming back to say, boy, I set my mind to something and I'm definitely going to, you know, keep going with this and I want to accomplish that. So that's what's great about it. So I don't know. I appreciate it when I hear people have done some really cool stuff. The least of which, of course, is INHS and TFU.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that time management's a great topic, because it's such a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and everything that you just mentioned, life just keeps happening. Each and every day, new things come up, which is what makes it interesting. But.
And being present to your life, I'm going to speak from a position of someone who is a little bit older.
No.
I would say the one thing I look back at in life, I wished I was a little more emotionally available in those moments, not distracted or sidetracked. You know, that I was more present and emotionally present in it. To feel that full impact of the now moment. You know what I'm saying, Michael? It's, for instance, raising kids, you know, we're coloring, we're doing stuff at the table together, but I'm also thinking about, you know, getting them to the doctor the next day. How do I drop them at daycare? Don't forget to pick up groceries. And all those millions of things. When you have grandkids, that just doesn't matter. I'm with the grandkids. Because you learn how to be present.
Right,
and I think that. Go ahead.
And that's something exactly that I wanted to, you know, talk about, is just the talent that's required. It's more of an art than a science, something that you kind of get better at over time. But being able to be present in the moment is just, you know, something you really have to work at over time, I think.
I totally agree, but that's the lesson I think that we learn as we're getting older. Unless somebody kind of, you know, taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hey, never mind all those distractions. Just be in the moment." You know, when you're sitting down reading that book or reading that chapter, reading that course, just read the course. Don't have your mind anywhere else. And if it means playing some ambient music, you know, to get that feel, you know, whatever kind of
makes
you focus a little better.
It does.
Then it being present in that time where you're not playing emotional catch up all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is what happens, is we're reviewing so many things in our lives because we weren't emotionally present. And of course we're going to see lots of things differently, you know.
Well, time adds a different perspective looking back on things. You see it with through a different lens than you did at the time that you were experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you know, being open to the experiences of life in many regards is something we have to work on and something we have to continually challenge ourselves to do, because I think there is a lot of opportunity for wondrous things, for joy, for happiness, for new adventures in life that each come our way. And we have to be in a place and be in a mindset that we can see them.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
You know, being present in the moment, being, you know, whatever you're doing, be in the now. It's very hard for me. Maybe that's why I think that you have to work at it so much. But, you know, oftentimes I can be somewhat absent-minded because I'm, you know, thinking about something, you know, just completely different from what I'm doing at that moment. And I completely agree about having some ambient noise, be it music, maybe a, you know, TV show that you don't really need to pay that much attention to, or just, you know, something in the background, because I often find that silence can be very distracting. If I have even something to engage my mind a little bit, I can focus more on a task. And I think that's very common, and I think it's very indicative of what it means to be human. And mm-hmm. I think that the balance...
But everyone is different. You see, I'm somebody, I love silence. I absolutely love silence. And, of course, I was living in the country for a few decades. And when I moved into town, I had to learn to get used to ambient sound. It was a whole different, it was a big culture shock. And there's a tenant downstairs where I live. And I find that I have to play music all the time or have some kind of ambient noise, because even the slightest noise from downstairs jolts me, you know,
yeah.
It kind of shocks my nervous system. So if I just keep it flowing, you know, just got to keep the flow, and then it's not quite so bad. But for me in nature and being in that silence of nature, I heard everything and I could hear my thoughts, you know, and that was a big thing for me as a writer, especially, and, you know, living with a lot of critters for so long. I could feel them. I could hear them. I could tell by birds or, you know, a coyote or, you know, lots of things that were going on outside. And that became my solace, my comfort. And that, in a way, Michael, that was the substitute for music.
Yeah. Right. And that's, you know, I think there's a lot to that. When you live close to nature and you can hear the sounds of the natural world, I think that's something that can, you know, really help with your disposition. I think it can be very soothing. I can absolutely see it being a solace. But this kind of silence I get sick of is, you know, if you're in a, you know, house with central air conditioning and everything's just kind of quiet. I need something on. I have to have, you know, there's just nothing. No nature, no crickets, no wind, you know, whishing through the trees or anything like that.
You know, I had a late friend of mine, very close to, he's a musician, and he, of course, that was his whole life was music, and he taught me how to read, because I could read music and I can hear music. I don't play anything very well, but the sound of cars on asphalt or the sounds of a bird singing, he taught me how to hear it as music and what the note was. Like, that's a D. Oh, you know, if you do a do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do in your head, and you're doing that scale, you can, oh, that car driving is, oh, that's kind of an E, you know, or something is a C major, or, you know, that's an F sound. You know, there's, mm-hmm. so you can start to hear the music in nature. And it blew my mind, to be honest, and that's why I came to appreciate his sharing of that with me, because that, to him, that's how he writes music.
That's
he hears something in nature, and it would inspire him to write something and make melodies out of it and whatever. But for me, I started to hear the music of nature, and so which really comes first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is nature and music, or both? And maybe it's one and the same.
Well, we're always part of nature. You know, you can't separate mm-hmm. the natural world from humanity, because we are of the natural world. And I would say that, you know, I base this on absolutely nothing but my gut feeling, but, you know, I would think that a lot of the early, you know, wind instruments, flutes and things like that were probably people mimicking birds and bird songs they heard. They would whistle to mimic it, and they would, you know, maybe follow along with it and then create their own little songs, because I think music is really reflective of consciousness.
Well, and the same with music and dance. And I know a lot of people have different ideas of dance, but really indigenous dance reflects nature. And it mimics that what animals do. But it also reflects the tasks that we take on, whether it's working in the fields, or there's a story to all dance. So
I really thought of it that way.
So that's why people, it's not just the need to move, it's the need to move to tell a story. That's what indigenous dance was always about. You come together in, or, you know, would be a healing dance, and you would mimic something from the spirit world or in nature here. And, of course, it's now taken on a whole mind of its own with, you know, different steps and stuff. But
I was going to say, I mean, you're telling me that the Macarena doesn't have any of that associated with it? No healing properties?
There's a story to it.
Yeah, I suppose.
It certainly is. But that's what I mean by even our, as you say, you know, we're in harmony with that, but we've, like, our intellect is kind of lost touch with that. And so it's just these conversations that we have, whether it's about making good use of your time, you know, and moving forward with your life and reconnecting with what's important, and I don't know, it's just making yourself more in your body and more of who you are, not just this, you know, acting, reacting to all these other outside stimuli. It's being really focused on, you know, you and your life, the value of your life, the purpose of your own life, you know, and moving through that, having something tangible, thinking about that. That's great.
That's interesting. It's kind of all Greek to me. I think my extent of dancing is kind of swaying back and forth awkwardly, but I'll take a slow dance any day. That's easy enough. But
well, if you look at indigenous dances, whether it's all the old folk dances, the old indigenous dances of many different cultures, not just North American Indian people, but any other, you know, throughout the world in history.
What it sounds like is you're really talking about things that come from, you know, the regions themselves, something that's not, you know, gone through the more modern, globalized melting pot.
Yeah, I'm saying the root of where everything comes from. Probably one of the greatest things I ever did when my kids were young is we all took an African drum class. And the storytelling of what each movement made, each beat, but then each movement with the beat and what it reflected, it was fabulous. And it just opens your mind to, I had no idea. Oh, so I'm not just doing something unconsciously now. I see the intent of where that came from and how now am I recreating that movement in some way, and what, you know, what, how does that come across to others? It was just one of the coolest things I did with my kids. Well, we did a lot of cool things, but that was a highlight.
That's pretty cool. And, you know, it's always good when you can, especially, you know, the younger you are, expand your mind to different cultures, different perspectives, different views on things. And it just prepares you for, to have a more of an open mind. It prepares you for later in life, too. But I think it's kind of a crime that, you know, far too often children are raised in a very kind of, you know, strict dogma, whether it's religious or not. But, you know, they're kind of raised with a, you know, it can, in the modern age, it can be religion, it can be politics, it can be, you know, just an ideology of any kind. But when you're raised to not explore other viewpoints, I think it weakens the entire, you know, entire society.
Well, and again, I'm going to go back to metaphysical humanism and why Dr. Kelly, you know, started the church and the school even in the first place, and the nine principles of belief is to make it universal. That no matter where you are on the planet, because we have, you know, dozens of countries, and, you know, students from dozens of countries, And it is that universal experience, again, a root. He found a way to articulate those root principles. Mm-hmm. And again, starting with the basic, inductive reasoning and, you know, get that, as he would say, the thinking back into it. But it's universal. So it doesn't matter where you're from, who you are. And this is where I know Colin was signed in, but he wasn't necessarily listening because he had to refresh in his audio and he came on a little late. Glad to have you, Colin. I noticed when Colin wrote, he's from Alberta, Canada. I lived there a good part of my life, Colin. I'm over in BC, Canada. And people from all different states throughout the U.S. are signed in. It's hard for people to be live on the program because of the time differences. You know that
this is true.
You know, and so that's where students come on and listen in the archives.
Oh yeah. Besides, I mean, very rarely do I, as a, you know, no longer cutting edge millennial. I guess this Gen Z now is the big new thing. Whatever. But I have always gotten used to having things on demand. So you know. The idea of, you know, watching live TV or live anything is kind of different these days. But I love being able to do this live, to get to interact with people in the chat. And that's what really makes it dynamic and interesting.
Yeah. Well, and again, we're all here because we have, it's like a family, right? But we all have a curiosity and we're connected through metaphysical humanism, our principles and our philosophies. And our interests.
Mm-hmm. See? Absolutely.
So no matter how different we are, different lifestyles and, you know, environments we might live in, there's something that, you know, a very core belief system that kind of hones us all into one place. And that's how we're energetically or synchronistically connected throughout all the world. And it's less divisive, you know, And again, because this is why we're here every week, is on behalf of, you know, the church and the school, is, and I'm kind of going to keep going back to that tonight, Michael, because we haven't done it in a while, but it's a wonderful place to meet up every week and not feel that other divisiveness that's in the world, the other divisions. You know, it's just free-flowing, and it's interesting, and we can all just kind of relax. Well, unless you talk about exorcisms, then we got to say, sorry, Colch, no, not.
Yeah, you know, it's a touchy subject. But also, you know, it's obviously against what we fundamentally believe. We don't think that anybody can, any being, any spirit can force, you know, a self-possessed individual to do anything. Nobody can possess somebody who is already self-possessed. But then again, the world is a big, wild place. What I will say that I love about getting together is that, you know, we're all on the wild ride of life together, and it's unpredictable, and it's messy, and it's scary, and it's wonderful, and it's great to get together, and of course you get to hear Dr. Hunter's eminent wisdom and my attempts at jokes, but we also get to talk with you and we get to share notes about the wild ride. We get to share notes about our perspectives and our experiences, and we get to share it with one another. And no matter what you do in life, one of the biggest things, you know, I know that everybody can find their happiness in a slew of things. Dr. Hunter, you find happiness in things like dance. I couldn't stand it. I find happiness in different places, but one thing is indisputable. Whatever you do, you will find happiness if you share it with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So,
indeed,
that's all I have
indeed
to say about that.
Well, it's indisputable.
Yes, these truths
so you
are self-evident.
My wisdoms, and you're the funny guy, and I'm the serious one. I think I'm funny sometimes.
Okay, Dr. Hunter, sure. Sure thing.
No,
I'm kidding,
too.
Of course, you know. That's a funny joke.
Yeah, okay. So this is the time when we're going to pick cards for everybody, and for the sake of those in the archives who aren't familiar with this, Michael selects a card from the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, you know, on behalf of Dr. Kelly, and then I choose a support card, which comes from the tarot. So that's how we do this. And already Michael had written in the chat that we're going to start pulling cards. We have names popping up like crazy. So I think we should just get to it, hey, Michael?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So, Dr. Edward, first victim of the evening. Let's see. Wild card. Wild card number 6, Entropy. I think it's been a minute since we pulled this one. Let's see.
It is.
Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, low entropy, that can wane to uselessness or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place. Good card, but as we know, Dr. Edward is keeping his entropy low. He is being very productive, learning new skills, and improving his community.
He is, and in support of that, the Seven of Diamonds reinforces that, Michael. So, the Seven of Diamonds, tarot language is the Pentacles. Now, for those who don't know, I'm just going to check this. 52 cards of the tarot are the same as a regular deck of playing cards. And I can read a regular deck of playing cards. And so that's where I like to say both of those things. So the Seven of Diamonds here, with regard to entropy, is... I would say that you're doing that, and it's a time where you reflect on what you have accomplished, the road that you have traveled. This is good, and you start to move on. So think of it as the harvest time of all those tasks and your energy, and then you're going to take a breath for a minute, and then you get up and you go again. So I think this is a good transition. It's good reflection time. But also what we were talking about even tonight is making use of your time. So it's you've done that, Edward, and you continue to do that. And this is just that acknowledgement. That's the way I see it. So that's awesome.
All right. We have Jamil next. Jamil, I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Good card, kind of a foundational card. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
Well, Jamil, in support of that, it's talking about you, actually, and noting you as the Jack of Clubs. And Jack of Wands, well, anything to do with clubs, in my view, is communication, change, achievement, you know, that sort of thing, and paying it forward and how you continue to do that. So... I'm going to say that my feel of this is sometimes we have to know when to give forward, when not to. You know, there's that other saying of Dr. Kelly's is don't do for others what they can or should do for themselves. At the same time, we also have to know that everyone needs a, you know, hand, a little bit of a leg up or, you know, help for a minute. So I think you might be assessing a situation right now. So that's kind of where I'm going with this intuitively. So that's where I think, you know, when you're making a decision about, is this something where you could be enabling somebody or is this where you're being of benefit? And I'm going to go with your being of benefit here. So.
All right. I like to hear it. And Ronnie, I have you up next. I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Let's see. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using the experience and understanding. Insight is discernment and seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
And I think you're replenishing your energy right now, Ronnie. That's what the Nine of Hearts tells me, Nine of Cups in tarot language. And so it's really important to, feed your own spirit, feed yourself. You can't give away what you don't have. So even if it's a day or a weekend or something where you just, oh, I need to just regenerate, rejuvenate, you know, and touch base with yourself. So I think if that's something that you're not already doing, maybe this is a little tap from the universe saying, hey, you might need a little time out, you know, take some me time and take inventory for a second, replenish your energy. I hope that makes sense to you, Ronnie. Ronnie, that's a female, not a male.
All right.
So much for me being intuitive.
Eh? Oh, come on. I think your batting average is still pretty good. But, all right, Colin, you have you up. And another wild card for the evening. Wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to yourself and others. Good card.
It is a good card, and it's a reminder to us, Colin, and that's why, you know, these cards are written as they are. It's kind of in your face kind of message. The support energy to this was the Nine of Spades, and I'm going to explain it in a moment. But I thought, where are we going with this message? So, and then I pulled the Magician. So here's the deal. You might be disappointed for a minute in someone or something, or maybe you're disappointed by the state of affairs in the world. Maybe you're leaving your house and saying, oh man, everybody's bonkers, you know? And so it's really important that we know who we are and don't buy into that energy, right? So as I say that, the Magician, you're in your own transformation, your own alchemy. And continue to do that. So sometimes it's important to put a little white light around ourselves. You know, kind of, that energy bubble where we're not so much affected, you know, by other stuff. I was out and about and I ran some errands today and I took a look around and I felt like, you know, when you're in a movie and you're running a camera and I was looking around saying, oh, I think I'm going to go home. Because I just noticed that people were just a little bit off their game, I think. So that's what I mean by don't take it to heart. And there's nothing to get angry about. It's just know that we're in a transition where, you know, so take your thinking to a different level. Excuse me. And then you'll get through it better. So, yeah, don't hate. I have a friend used to say to me, more to be pitied than censored. You know, and I play that in my head quite a bit. So I hope that makes sense. Yeah, Colin said yep in the chat room. Thanks for that, Colin. And, you know, but we all get it. We all get it that it can be very difficult some days and challenging, you know, to say what, you know. But it's okay. We've all been there.
Oh, that's the truth.
Yeah.
All right, Marjorie, let's see. In our Oracle card tonight, number 20, deliberate intent.
Good one.
Let's see. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Queen of Wands. That's the Queen of Clubs. Deliberate intent and the Queen of Clubs. Marjorie, that's kind of powerful. a powerful message. I see the Queen of Clubs as the, think of her as the Mother Earth. You know, she's a really good overseer. She has some good insight. She can see ahead. And sometimes we have to make decisions that's the lesser of all the evils. In other words, there's really no good course of action. So you got to take the one that can get things moving.
I.e. right? most of life.
And yeah. So, and with your deliberate intent, that's saying that you may have an insight to something at this time. But as someone with a little bit of wisdom going on, you're going to say, well, we still have to make this move forward. So there may not be a perfect answer at the moment, but there's still an answer, is what I'm saying. So I think that deliberate intent, you're putting your energy out there, you're seeing things, and you're taking the steps that are necessary. So keep moving forward, Marjorie. That's what it's telling me. All right. Audra is next, Michael, I think. Did we lose you, Michael? Am I still on?
Oh, I'm on mute because I was coughing. And no, our next card is for Wendy, our card keeper.
Oh, so, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
All right, Wendy. Pulled number 18 for you, Evolution. Good card. Don't know if we pulled in a little bit. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
There's that entropy thing again, mm-hmm. I pulled the Queen of Swords for you, Queen of Spades, Wendy. And, you know, with evolution, sometimes, well, in this case, I'm going to say it's not a bad thing to be assertive. Now, aggression is about that whole power and control thing, mm-hmm. and overcoming, you know, somebody else taking over. Assertion is to put forth, to put into action, you know, and that's saying here, for your own evolution, it's okay to be strong. It's okay to be assertive. It's okay to do all that. You find your own manner of doing it that, you know, sometimes we have to choose the right words or choose the right timing, that sort of thing. So I think that at this time, you're asserting yourself and evolving, and it's okay that other people don't quite understand it yet. Inform people as you can. Let them know that you're working on stuff. That's fair enough. People are close to you. And keep going. That's what I say.
That's always a good message. Every day, forward, always. And
always.
I know Wendy is going to be doing it.
Yep.
All right. Now, I know, Audrey, you're next. Unfortunately, we just had enough time for Wendy's card. Of course, I'm kidding. We couldn't wrap up the evening without a card for Audra. And I have a wild card for you, Audra. Wild card number 2, and then some. And while I look it up in the book, thank you for letting me recycle that joke from before. All right. When you have reached your limits and you believe that you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch to your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it. And by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. That's a good card. And Audra, I know that you definitely do.
Yeah, for sure. The Two of Diamonds is there. I always see that truly as a balance card. Balance in our physical world as well. So the ends and then some, I think, in this case, is just reminding you to keep balance, Audra. And, you know, don't be juggling too many outside things at once. And do it with, what's the word? Just kind of be a little bit more methodical about your timing for how you output your energy. And so you are giving and then some, but not at risk of yourself. Because that's a really important thing. Gee whiz, you know, Audra had that card a couple of times this year. So, but again, you know, when we say the and then some, and the pay it forward, mm-hmm. and you know, they think it can be the equal and opposite like anything else. And there are words that when Michael reads these off to you, everyone, they're a little, and Dr. Keller designed it that way, there are these other little messages between the lines, you know, mm-hmm. that it depends on how we're viewing that, how we're hearing it. And that's why we pull a support card. It gives us a little more information, a little more insight to the message there. So the and then some doesn't mean, oh, you're not giving enough, you should give more. It's, you know, also about, yes, you are giving then some, but don't do it at risk of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So when I pull that two of diamonds, that two of pentacles, that's the reminder. It's so easy to get caught up in all the tasks at hand and all the things we have to do. But please, people, you know, take time for yourself. And even if it's a small thing in a day, and the other thing that's so easy to do now is to second guess ourselves. Say, oh, did I miss something? Could I have done that better? Or why did that go sideways? Or, you know, what was that about? Thinking that we contributed to it, you know.
You're talking about me, right? You're talking about me right now, aren't you?
I'm always talking about you, Michael.
Well, everybody should be.
But you know what I'm saying. So from the very beginning of the program tonight, and I think some of these cards, I don't know, I like to think there's a reason for all things and somehow it ties together, is, you know, how we use our time well.
Yeah.
And don't forget about ourselves as we're going through this, but do things for ourselves that we can see that forward motion. Certainly taking courses is one of them, but other times it could be something as simple as, oh, you know what? They got to pack their own lunches today. I'm spent.
Yeah. So
it can be any number of those things, but keep that good balance. And we're in some pretty crazy times in the world. Nobody can deny that.
This is true. But we are lucky to live in interesting times.
It is. And I have to say, though, for myself, I sit back now and I just kind of shake my head, and I have to see it partly as a comedy, because I don't think anybody could really write this stuff.
Well, you know, truth is stranger than fiction is a cliche for a reason. And here's another thing. You know, life's crazy, but at least we're not sacrificing people for a better harvest, and we're not burning people at the stake. So we take the winds as they come in this world. So
yes, indeed, for sure. So it's, again, another week has come. We're into October. You know, very shortly we're going to bat an eye, and it's going to be the end of 2021 and the start of a new year. So I'm going to challenge everybody now, is do something really cool for yourself by the end of the year. Do something for yourself that, you know, whether it's building something artful or, you know, finishing a course, any number of little things, but just challenge yourself to do one thing that you can look back on to say, hey, I remember I took advantage of that time and I really, you know, put my mind to that and I got it done. Set a goal for yourself, because the end of the year is coming quickly and you want to be able to say, phew, that, you know, for all the crap that's going on in the world, I did some cool stuff. That's what you want to be able to say.
Very well said. Very well said.
Kind of, you mean the crap word? Dr. Kelly, I know Dr. Kelly's listening and cringing.
I'm sorry, I totally missed whatever, you know, improper wordage you used. We'll have to go back and examine it very closely. But
I think you'll edit it out, Michael.
Oh, I sincerely doubt that. I mean, I literally didn't even catch it. I still am not entirely sure if you actually said crap or was it the worst version.
Yeah, that's right. Now it's hard to tell on Skype, you know.
Ah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? But it has come to that time of the evening as we kind of wrap up, and I think, you know, we're starting with an open discussion. We, you know, kind of came to a discussion about time and balance in life and how are we spending our time, and we think about what are we going to be leaving behind, you know, what is going to be the sum of our life. And Netflix is great, but it's not an investment in your future either, unless it's a really good show, in which case that sticks with you. But It has always, as always, I should say, been a riveting discussion with you, Dr. Hunter. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
No, Michael, I'm just glad to be here, and I know that I say that off the top of the program every week, but I really am. I am just really grateful and glad to be here every week with you. I like hanging out and talking with you, Michael. I really love this group. I'm so appreciative of these people and having that moment in the week to, you know, focus in and be here now. Nothing yeah. else in the world matters except being here right now with you, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, thank you for being with us. Thank you all for joining us in the chat. Thank you for catching up with us in the archives. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day to spend with us. And we hope that you join us next week. We're going to have a topic as of yet unknown, but that's the fun of the mystery, is that we don't know. Hey, that's a good topic. Anywho, please join us next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.